Welcome to episode 260. Welcome to episode 260 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be links to videos and articles available on the show page today, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Blink. Okay, so we're talking about multi-subject. I didn't even get the subject out yet. multicellularness. And we can keep circling back around to this subject because it's directly related to what I'm trying to figure out with my digital organisms lately.
Yeah.
It's not what I set out to find out, but it's important nowadays. How do you get individual agents... individual agents to build something more complicated than they are.
Yeah, and life figured it out once.
Life did figure that out several times. So to get something to be multicellular, it means that these cells are going to have to cooperate.
Yes.
And we're actually going to be looking at a lot of animals that aren't, well, that are multicellular, but kind of act like they're also cells in a body.
Okay.
Because I can understand things on this level. Down there in microscope land, I get a little lost.
Okay, well.
So, cooperation. Basic question, you're going to get a bunch of cells together and they're all going to cooperate. Why doesn't anybody cheat?
Don't they? I would expect somebody to cheat. That's life.
You take some birds here, right?
Okay.
And they set up this intelligence test. Both birds have to pull on the cord at the same time. They've got a cord.
Mm-hmm.
They have to cooperate in order to pull out the tray with the cheese on it.
Okay.
And they were showing this, and the one crow grabs both pieces of cheese and flaps away.
Thanks for your cooperation, mine.
The researcher was saying, okay, they recognize that bird, and they remember that bird, and it doesn't take long before no one will cooperate to pull out the tray with that bird anymore.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd rather go hungry than you have the cheese.
You jerk.
But individual cells, they can't do that.
Yeah, I got you.
Right? Yeah, but it turns out there's a nice little mechanism that does about the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
They did an experiment where they're simulating evolution with bacteria-like organisms.
Bacteria-like. Okay.
Yeah. What is the project called? Evol, E-V-O-L, with an A in front of it.
Oh.
How would you pronounce that?
Evil.
Anyway, what they found is they'd have these things. They're secreting a chemical for the public good.
Okay.
This makes everybody happy. This helps everyone.
Okay.
And there's various settings and how expensive it is to make that.
Okay.
And they found that the more expensive it was, if it was happening at all, the more likely the genes to produce that chemical...
Mm.
We're overlapping genes to do very important metabolic stay aliveness.
Ah, I see.
So any mutation that would cause you to, you know, to cheat,
mm-hmm.
and just suck up the goodness instead of make any,
yeah.
would also, you know, kill you.
Yeah. We know this is expensive, but you want to live, don't you? Yeah.
So that pretty much solves that problem. It's just sort of a ratchet. They talk about that in evolution a lot. You've made a choice, you've done a thing, now you're stuck with it.
Okay.
So the thing about multicellularness, judging from some of the experiments, they've induced it in the laboratory. It can start out by a common mistake.
Oops, we're multicellular.
In a way, yeah. You've got a single-celled critter who usually reproduces by splitting in two.
Oh, okay.
The split doesn't quite happen.
Get off of me.
Unless you start to get this little ball of cells.
Okay.
Which is how every animal starts, as a little ball of cell. And at some point, they become a blastula.
Blastula. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, this is every animal, well conserved across the whole sweep of weirdness.
Did you just equate in the entirety of creation to weirdness?
No, no, just every extent, every existing animal.
Oh, okay.
that looks like a sweep of weirdness to me.
You've nailed it down.
Anyway, okay. The blastula, it becomes a hollow ball filled with water and the inner cell mass.
Mm-hmm.
To become anything else, it means that your cells need to be able to adopt different shapes and different functions.
Okay.
So you would expect that animals that can change their body types to specialize would be more single cell like than animals that don't.
Sure.
Sure. You buy this? Okay.
Yeah.
Ants and bees.
Okay.
Bees pretty much look like a bee. They come out of the capsule. They're bee-shaped. I guess they're juvenile. Some of the proportions are a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But they go through and they do every job in the hive until they get old enough to become foragers. The foragers are the oldest bees.
Oh.
Because it's dangerous out there and they want to get a certain amount of work out of them before.
We're going to retire you to the field. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got ants who will, in fact, have particular body types for particular jobs. The most well-known and common being the soldier ant. They, a particular species, are actually about 200 species of ants known as army ants, don't dig a nest.
Oh.
They bivouac is what they call it.
Okay.
They make a, they interlock their legs and mandibles to make a living nest out of themselves.
What?
The oldest workers are on the outside. And inside are rooms and walls and passages, all made out of ant.
Wow.
And the queen's in there, and there's eggs in there, and there's larvae in some of their food.
Okay, when I go camping, I don't make the tent out of humans.
Twister was a design set, right?
Okay.
This is how to make a tent from humans. Left hand blue.
Right foot yellow.
Insert steak. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Right. Next, we got to figure out which cell is going to do what. That is partially because of intrinsic properties, partially because of mechanical properties, and partially because they're sending signals to each other saying, hey,
what do I do over here?
So there's going to be a need a certain amount of communication going on in order to act multicellular. All right. Next, we got the question of genetic identity.
Okay.
So if you look at any of these critters that act like a single organism, bees, ants, wasps, naked mole rats, they're all fairly closely related.
Right.
And we talked about this a bit on Monday. Multicellular critters, right?
Right.
There's some evidence of them being around as long as 1.8 billion years ago.
That's a long time.
Take eight. Here in 1.8 billion year old Australian rocks. It's not actually even the critters. It's trace fossils.
Oh.
Critters leave traces like footprints or,
oh, right,
or animal dens they've dug out or even feces.
Little holes where the critter was.
Or yeah, they got these little these little channels in the sand. They figure some kind of wormy thing it was worming its way around, right? Except recently in Texas.
it involves Texas.
Texas and even the water. Somewhere in the Gulf, I'm guessing, of Mexico. They were diving around in a very kind of calm area where the sediment doesn't get disturbed much, and they found these trails.
Oh.
And at the end of them, they kept seeing these little round things. They thought they were snails at first.
Right, right.
Except it turns out to be an amoeba.
That's a big amoeba.
Yeah, it's they can get like an inch and a half long.
This is a critter, amoebas, right? They're single-celled?
Yeah, this is a single-celled protist.
Holy crap.
Eukaryote. They make a shell for themselves.
Ah.
And actually, there's several different amoebas that do this, and They're not even related to each other. They just came up with the same trick. Testate amoebas, you betcha.
Want to eat me? See, I'm going to be so crunchy.
Yeah, so anyway, some of them use, help me out here. What are the
silicone?
Either silicates or calcium carbonate.
That's right.
I knew. Woo! I'd land there eventually. This one in particular actually just glues bits of dirt together.
Oh, fancy. Yeah.
And apparently, even though they didn't see it moving to make the trails, they think they move too slow for the human eye to notice.
Okay.
But they're leaving trails that are just like the spitting image of those trails in the 1.8 billion-year-old Australian rocks, so...
Oh, maybe they're ancient.
Yeah, it's possible that just because you got trails, it doesn't mean you got some wormy thing.
I like that. Just follow the trail all the way to the end. What is this? What is this thing?
It's an amoeba. That's not even the biggest amoeba I've ever heard of. I think the biggest one was in one of those trenches, deep water trenches.
Oh, okay.
It was like 4 inches across.
Ooh, did it have a skeleton of some sort? I mean,
I don't know.
Wondering if that's
trend. I was looking for the biggest single-celled critter at the time. I think that was my Google search. There's let's see if I can remember the name of this, like Pseudopholius.
Okay.
It's a seaweed. It's actually an algae. Mm-hmm. It's a single-celled critter. It gets like 6 inches long.
Ooh.
And has what looks like leaves and branches.
Okay.
That's a polynucleoid cell.
That's what that is?
Yeah. Nucleuses, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Our red blood cells, for example, they don't have no nucleus.
Well, why bother with that?
Yeah, but our muscle cells, they have more than one nucleus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What you said.
Yes. Really.
I'm with it.
Meanwhile, I've been playing with the door guy, and it occurs to me, that it seems like genetic identity is a big thing in this whole let's act even vaguely multicellular.
Okay.
Or even cooperate, right?
Okay.
Shared genes. I could totally force that.
You are all a family, chunk.
It's actually going to be an issue, especially if I start using multiple chromosomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right now it takes about 4K to save a single dorg.
Okay.
A digital organism.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to sort of act sort of like neurons.
Okay.
Say an ant brain has 250,000 neurons. Times 4K a piece, that's already a gig. And this isn't like I can store this. This is like active RAM use. For a cat, I need a terabyte.
Cat and mouse would be them fighting each other. Yeah, I see a problem.
Cat and ant. Yes, yeah, so that's going to be an issue. And if every one of them has like 20, 30 different chromosomes. But if they all had the same thing, then I could save a lot of data. Just whatever chromosome they needed at the time, they could look up from the archive, the copy.
There's one big floating dorg mothership.
Kind of like that. And then, you know, I make extra copies of a particular chromosome when I want to fine-tune that one.
Mm-hmm.
And see, in this model, they're not even finding their own mates. It's all very hand of God. There's a Latin phrase for that. I was going to be fancy, but Latin has abandoned me.
What was her name?
I could force the dorg to have all the same genetic information, right? We come out on Monday now. That's what happened. Yeah. But I don't think you automatically are going to be nice to someone just because they have the same genes as you.
Right.
Right? I think you have to learn that first. But I was looking for other model organisms, things to study that might be vaguely multicellular.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about ants and bees and so forth. And the thing that multicellular critters do that they don't is bud,
right? Okay. Yeah.
Cells divide and form new cells all the time.
Okay.
So I looked at coral because I'd heard they do that.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't really expecting much. They do make funny structures, mm-hmm. right? Either branched or fronds, or there's one, this one called brain coral,
oh, hey,
which
yeah.
is funny because I'm trying to get things to act like a brain.
You look like a brain. Tell me your secrets.
But what I didn't know, the stony corals, uh-huh. The same ones that keep algae inside themselves to help make food,
okay.
Also have tubes that connect each other.
So they're talking, okay, they're talking to each other?
They're doing more than that. They're sharing food and symbionts.
Huh.
They've got almost a circulatory system.
Well, hey, okay.
So yeah, I wasn't expecting that from coral. It was more interesting than I expected.
I like these little in-between steps, you know?
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I was reading about the coral, and they said these are nadarians that don't have a Medusa stage. Blink.
Ooh, that's
what's a Medusa exactly, stage? Right? So then we get into the life cycle of the jellyfish.
Oh, hey, okay.
And there are a lot of different critters under the umbrella term jellyfish,
mm-hmm.
and some of them aren't even all that closely related to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you start out with a zygote.
Yeah, okay.
That turns into this free-swimming, flat, ciliated worm.
Yeah.
Okay. It's hairy.
So we'll call him hairy. Get so eventually, hairy.
It finds a place and says, okay, this is my new home.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a stony coral, mm-hmm. that's the end of the show. It's going to butt off. It's going to make a reef. Everything's fine. If it's any one of a whole bunch of different critters,
mm-hmm.
it also buds.
Mm-hmm.
Forming these little polyps.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just sort of a sock of a critter. That's his body plan. So he's got an open end and then he...
sock of a critter. I like it.
And they got their tubes. You know, they're sharing food and other things with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're specifically interested in hydrozones. You'll find out why eventually. Their colonies tend to be small, just a few centimeters across.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere in there is a polyp or two.
Mm-hmm.
That will develop into the jellyfish.
Uh-huh.
The jellyfish is the adult, the sexually active adult.
Okay, yeah.
They float around and drop their gametes,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what they do.
It started the whole thing, yeah.
Again, hydrozoans generally have very small medusas or small jellyfish,
mm-hmm.
maybe an inch across, maybe two.
Oh, cute.
Yes, very small. So here are these things that share a genetic identity.
Mm-hmm.
They can bud. They already have a circulatory system and can be stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
They have different body types.
Yeah.
Assuming they can communicate with each other somehow, they have all the prerequisites to act multicellular.
Heck yeah.
All right. A particular class of hydrozones, the siphonophores.
Siphonophore.
Have you ever heard of the Portuguese man o' war?
Yes.
It is a hydrozone.
Okay.
A little larvae floating along, swimming along, minding its own business. And then, without bothering to anchor to anything, it starts budding.
Okay.
It's making a bunch of more tiny little selves.
Mm-hmm.
They're all genetically identical, mm-hmm. but the body plans for them are different depending upon where they are in the critter and what they're doing.
Okay.
They are all connected by these tubes.
Mm-hmm.
The very first one, that flatworm looking thing.
Yeah.
It folds up and fills with gas and expands.
Oh!
To become the float.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About a foot long and as much as 5 or 6 inches out of the water.
Mm-hmm. And like the thing that makes me go, Portuguese man o' war.
Anyway, you actually end up with several different body types inside there with specific jobs. You've got the some of them are polyps.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are actually little jellyfish things, but they're stuck. And it's good because they can't live by themselves.
Uh-huh.
You do have ones specialized for feeding, right?
Okay.
And trailing from little sacks of them are the long tentacles.
Uh-oh.
Where some of them are specialized for, killing.
Death, destruction.
Defense, that sort of thing. They make that nasty venom,
mm-hmm.
which hurts a lot and can even kill a human if you get too much of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then they draw the food into those little chambers.
Oh, hey.
Where there are many, many, many mouths.
Many, many, many mouths.
Yeah, and they don't just start chewing. They excrete digestive juices to break down protein and carbohydrates. There are also others that do that also have arms to mix it all around.
cooperative digestion.
And then everybody eats it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that goes through the tubes to all the other polyps and medusae
mm-hmm.
who don't have mouths. So we've got like a specialized digestive area and a circulatory system to divide up the booty. And get rid of the waste. It's a very, very multicellular. They've also got critters.
Yep.
Specialized for reproduction.
Hey.
I wish I could tell you more about that, but apparently nobody knows.
Well, it's dangerous.
We've known the Portuguese man of war since 1700s, right? Mm-hmm. Scientifically described. But I know it's hard to work with in the lab. Right? Those tentacles can get up to 100 feet long, and we're missing a couple of interns for some reason. The jellyfish has an iPad. I don't know how.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, that whole thing, that mating thing, that genetic diversity thing, that's a complicated story. So next time, sex. See you then.
Bye.